Thank you for being here. The intention today is that we want to take a lot of what we talked about or what we've already kind of started and now shift a little bit more into the tactical implementation of client value adds. One of the biggest questions that advisors have is, great, I've had this great conversation. I've defined their statement of financial intent or financial purpose, and they had no idea what that was. And now it's a matter of how do we deliver that in ongoing value so that we're delivering deep value to clients? So that's what we're going to talk about here today. This is a working session. We want this to be a dialogue, not just a monologue with Stephanie and I. I think a lot of you know who I am, obviously, but I want Steph to have an opportunity to share her story, her background as a returning alumni. I know we have a lot of new people here in Limitless that have not been in years prior. So who are you?
Thanks, Adam. I'm Steph Bruno. So I did the program in the inaugural year, so 2018 and also 2019. So those 2 years. I was in financial services for about 15 years before I started my own financial practice. So I had my financial practice for about 9 years. And last year I merged into Mission Wealth. So I've kind of implemented stuff on the small side as a mainly solopreneur, but also can see the enterprise side. So feel free to, we're going to talk about some examples on both sides today, depending on the size of your firm, so we can help answer those questions for you. But we're really happy to be here today and share some of the things that worked for us. And we know you'll get great value out of that.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Allison, not this one. It was just a one-page plan. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then the next two client meeting circles and
Meeting surges and five-star service model. Those are CFP credit approved. So just make sure that you find, if you need CFP credit, that you find that, sign in, put the information down. We'll make sure that you get credit. So, all right, let's move on here. All right, so I think we can all agree this, right? I think we can all agree that financial planning is a process, not an event at this point. I think we hammered that idea home in the first couple of hours of our time here. So what we want to do though is now understand with that idea, the idea and concept of defining what you're delivering to your client by first understanding or making sure that we understand who your audience is and what it is that you're trying to convey to them, right? What Carl said, people don't care about your process and your solutions. They care about their problems. And the goal, as you think about creating your systematic service model for your clients, is that you're meeting clients where they are with the problems that they have, both from a time and a problem-based approach. What I mean by time is calendar specific areas. Okay, your tax season right now. How are you engaging your clients in proactive tax planning, right? Being sensitive to the needs of your clients and the problems of your client, understanding the avatar of your relationship and using that as how you're defining your service model. One of my biggest, for lack of a better word, gripes in the way in which I think client service models have been demonstrated in the advisory profession is that they're very, very generic. And then advisors look at these calendars and they say, well, but that's not necessarily relevant to my client base. So how do I create a service model based off of this template here? And what we're wanting to do is take you through this process. And that's why you'll notice on your table, we have broken up, kind of giving you a peek behind the curtain here of what's going to come later. The working part of this session is when we can kind of move around and mingle into the niche-based tables that we have here so that collectively, as you're defining your niche and who you do your best work for, you can share ideas and bounce ideas back and forth of what it is that you're doing for that niche client that is going to be valuable to them. Use your avatar, use your ideal client as what that service model is, not necessarily trying to shoehorn your client base into a service model that you think works. Talk a little bit about, Steph, about your, you know, we've got two samples here of our process. Why don't you share a little bit about what you're doing in your firm and how that's changed rolling up, if you will, into Mission Wealth?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I first started doing the value adds. Obviously, I got that idea from the program. You know, we used to do like quarterly meetings with clients and you go in, you talk about the financial plan and the investments, right? And then it just sort of gets old and stale. And even though you're doing some of these other items, you weren't maybe addressing them all the time. So the goal was, okay, maybe we do the financial plan once a year. We might touch on investments a little bit, but how do we deliver these values maybe throughout the year? And how do we do it efficiently, right? So if I'm going to be talking about a topic, how do I do that and do it for all my clients at once? So I'm really focused on that one topic and doing a deep dive. And, you know, what I did practically too is just started with my A clients, right? You don't have to do it for everybody right away. I mean, I did eventually trickle down and do it to my B clients as well too, but think about what can I deliver to my A clients? So, you know, some of the things that I did was we did a long-term care review. We're going to talk about that. I did just a basic letter to their accountants on here's the tax forms you should be expecting this year. And oh, by the way, we did a Roth conversion or we did a backdoor Roth and you need to file form, you know, 8606, those types of things. And at first it might take a little bit of time and we can talk more about the mechanics of those, but it's a value add. And it's also something that you can use then in that next conversation with that client. One of the biggest surprises, we did a beneficiary review 1 year, right? Just looking at that and how many corrections we had coming out of that and realizing how many individual accounts we have without TOD designations, right? We should never not have a TOD designation on an individual account. So a lot of simple things can come out of that review piece. It doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it can be big, but it doesn't have to. Now at Mission Wealth, we're doing like these inspired talks, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into the process. But at a bigger firm, we're able to do more, and we're able to schedule these a little bit different. But even as a solo firm, and without a lot of automation, I think automation is key, and I would definitely use as much automation as you can. But don't let that stop you from delivering a quarterly value add. You, an assistant or a temporary employee, can prep a total good value add for your A clients and deliver it and then get you to the next quarter.
And so what we do, and I know this might be hard to read, and again, all the slides are going to be available in the library after retreat, or candidly, they may already be available now. On the resources tab, thank you, Allison. So what we do, I'll just kind of run through our ongoing value add process for our clients. So the metaphor that I use with our existing clients is when they sign up as a new client, as a new relationship, and they join the IPWM family, the first, call it maybe 60 to 120 days, that's kind of like an indie pit car coming out of pit lane and getting ready to merge into traffic. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of work that goes into that process. But once you merge from pit lane onto the oval, we're just doing laps. Life changes. We joke with clients for our practice owners. Three things are always going to be changing in your life, which is going to require us to have a conversation or you to have a conversation with someone: the markets, your business, and your life. And those are all interconnected and all related. And so our service model that we created that ties into the qualitative kind of purpose-driven relationship that we have and the quantitative financial decision-making matrix that we have to go through is January is basically off for us. We don't do a lot in January. We're ramping up as a firm to get ready for the year. February is when we're reviewing the practice financials for all of our practice owner clients. We're having them, and we've automated some of this, a lot of this, through ActiveCampaign in asking them for this information and sharing that. Why do we do it in February and not in January? It's because we learned over the time that asking clients for their practice financials the first week of January or the second week of January, their bookkeeper hasn't reconciled their books yet. They don't have that all done. So, and I'll get to that in December here, we ramp that up in December, asking them for that in January, at the end of January, to deliver that conversation and that experience in February. So February is very, very business focused and goals focused about what it is that is important to them that has their attention that they want to make progress on over this year. So we quantify that, we qualify that, we put that in their one-page plan that we revisit every single year. So we're kind of building up these stacks of one-page plans that we can go back and review and revisit, which, by the way, if you're ever asked the "what have you done for me lately" question, is an easy way to reconcile that and bring out the statement of financial purpose that's on top of your one-page plan. And here's 2015s, 2016s, 2017s, 2018s. And again, we can maybe dive into that detail. We do two cornerstone reviews for our clients, one in the spring, one in the fall. That is the high-level overview of their entire financial plan. And we're going to talk about that in our, that's our surge. So we talk about then if you want the details and the nuts and bolts behind that, really encourage you to scrub into the session that Cooper and I are hosting later today. Is that tomorrow?
Today,
thank you. You'd think I'd have my agenda memorized already. So we do our cornerstone reviews in April and May. We do in July is our mid-year tax review with our CPA. With their CPA, we kind of joke with them that this is a non-negotiable part of the relationship, that we want an introduction to your CPA. We always want to collaborate and never compete with existing relationships that they have.
So what's the cornerstone review?
The cornerstone review is the 30,000 foot view of their financial plan. Is the actions that they're taking in alignment with the financial decisions that they're making? It's also, we nest in the beneficiary review into those cornerstone reviews. We put that on the agenda. We pulled the beneficiary report for your accounts. Here's how it's set out. Here's, we cover that in a 5-minute blurb in the conversation, and then ask, is there anything that we need to change? So we pack a lot of information into that cornerstone review. And sometimes advisors give us a little pushback for that because, like, whoa, that's a lot of information. You could do all it. It's worked for us. It might not work for everybody, but that is that cornerstone review, is basically the financial plan review in a 60-minute meeting. Sometimes 75. We do the CPA tax planning review in July, another cornerstone review in October, in September and October. And then November and December is end of year tax planning, Roth conversions, tax gain, loss harvesting, as well as we have created our own calendar that we send out to all of our practice owners. And that's when we're beginning the goal conversation for the next year, so that when we meet in February, we have something to talk about. And then we just repeat that cycle. That's the proactive service model. We always have little, I shouldn't say always, but we have little micro interactions that feed into that. And we always joke with our clients that we know that life happens in between these scheduled reviews, so that if life happens to you as a practice owner, please know that someone from our team is going to be accessible to you. Notice I don't say I'm available, our team is accessible.
And I'll just piggyback on that and say, now at Mission Wealth, we do have services that we assign to clients depending on their level. So if they're a private client, we might have 4 services that we are going to commit to deliver. We assign those services when we sign them up. If it's an integrated wealth client, so that might be somebody between 1 million and 4 million, we have sort of 2 to 3 services that we're going to deliver. We assign those throughout the year. And then if they're underneath that, we have different levels of services. So you can schedule these in your CRM. I'm not a big Surge fan, so I know that's not, you know, pro limitless. Again, you don't have to implement everything. I like to do my meetings as I go, but I do, for every client, they get what we call a wealth management review at the beginning of the year. So, I mean, in a way, I'm surging, I'm delivering that service. So we only do the financial plan once a year, unless there's a reason to do it otherwise. We do a tax management review for most clients at the end of the year. And then we're doing these other services, or what we would call value adds, in between.
Question.
Do you go as far as showing a version of the calendar on the right to clients either on your website or?
Yes. So we have something that we're currently trademarking called the Integrated Income Planning Model. And so that we have a graphic, it's kind of a 1-page graphic that shows the intersection of their personal and practice. It's kind of this infinite loop, which then segues into 2 cornerstone reviews, which then also arrows over into basically 4 other, what we call asynchronous communications, which is, for example, on the practice financials in review, we don't do a meeting with every single client when we do a practice review. I'll hop on a Loom video and say, I've analyzed your statement of cash flow, balance sheet, and profit loss in your practice. Here's where things look good. Here's where I might suggest we put a little bit more focus and intention over the course of the year. These are things that I'd like you to keep an eye on. And if we have additional questions about that, we can certainly set up a 15-minute follow-up call. We're experimenting next year with, because we had a lot of clients that actually wanted to schedule that call. What we're thinking about doing next year is just automatically assuming that they're going to schedule unless they decline. But yes, short answer is they're getting this expectation, because it also, for our service model, we charge a $2,500 upfront and then $695 a month. It's an annual financial planning fee paid monthly. It's not a monthly financial planning fee. We did that because, oh, you're billing me monthly and I didn't hear from you this month. No. It's an annual financial planning fee. We're just giving you the option of paying either monthly or quarterly. And so we do want to put context around what that service model means with that fee schedule. So we are giving them a variation of this deliverable.
And the question was, do you share this schedule with the clients?
Thank you. Yes. For virtual people, my apologies.
Do you do the same in November? Like, that's not a meeting, that's you telling them what to do and then hoping they don't all.
November is great. We don't even offer a meeting in November. They would have to specifically ask for it. We have all of that systematized in Redtail. on segment between tag groups, keywords, and then broadcast email mail merge documents that are in Redtail. We do all of that systematically, and then we'll send out, we've analyzed your plan for Roth conversions, good, and we're not going to do anything, or we have, and we're going to do this much, and or tax gain harvesting, same thing. All of that is asynchronous.
Yeah, and for you people billing quarterly, right, the goal is that you're delivering something maybe before that fee statement comes out. So you're reminding them of the value that you're providing them. It's not trickery, as Carl would say, but it's just reminding them this is a service that goes on throughout the year. It's not just one time.
Yes.
I can't really see that from here.
Yep.
How many hour-long meetings are you having?
Two hour-long. Question is, how many hour-long meetings are we having? We're having 2 hour-long meetings per year.
Did you run into any issues with compliance with the loop? I started trying to integrate that, and I'll get some pushback from compliance around the loop videos and how they're being archived, et cetera.
So let me check with my chief compliance officer. Is that okay? Yes, that's okay. Now, I will say, I just got done going through an audit. It wasn't an issue for me. I just went through this. Now, I'm state registered. I'm not SEC registered right now, but I just wrapped up a pretty in-depth audit between paying for the pro version of Loom, which allows for infinite archiving ability and being able to grab that video, between that as well as the email archiving. It wasn't a question from our regulators, and my CCO says it's okay. So I get, and with all due respect, in seriousness to those of you that might be a little bit more handcuffed by some of your compliance. Yeah, I know that not all of what we can do, I know that business models might sometimes limit what we're able to
it's
do.
It's a great time saver. And yeah. To your point, everyone will not request a meeting, so you can kind of take real space.
Yeah. Now, what you could do in absence of doing a Loom video, while that's great to do from a I can interact asynchronously with a client and they can hear me talk just like they listen on the podcast. The next best thing that you could do with that is create one of our favorite tech tools in the office is Text Expander. It's mail merge on steroids. That's the best way that I can describe what Text Expander is. You could build for tax gain harvesting, Roth, all of those things, even the practice financial review. We could build some Text Expander mail merge documents that are 90% completed. And then the only thing that would be open for my input would be based off my analysis, here are my observations, colon, and then a blank space for me to add my own value. Is it as good as a video? No, but would it satisfy that compliance? Yes. Any other questions before we move on?
Yeah, I want to do only 2 meetings. I do 3 meetings with clients, but I want to move down to 2. So do you essentially, like, I guess that's what you're doing, dribbling it out through Zoom or automated channels?
Yeah.
And then if somebody asks something, then you
can. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, we create these expectations in our mind that people are going to meet with us. I'll have people when they sign up, well, how often are you going to meet with me? And then I try and schedule a meeting with them and they can't come in. So, you know, don't have these limiting beliefs that they have to meet quarterly with you. You've got to get the job done and deliver value in between, but you don't have to have 4 meetings a year to do that.
Yeah. I know Steph talked about her beneficiary designation review. This is just another example of a value add. All of the resources that Steph has used in her process that I've used in mine are online in the library. This is one example of what it is that we're doing and how we're demonstrating value. Anything that you would add to this?
Well, I'll just walk through it.
Yeah.
Because this is one that I did was actually particularly valuable, is a long-term care review with my clients. So I work with somebody that does long-term care underwriting for most of my clients. I'm a fee-only advisor. I can't do insurance. So, you know, what we did was we pulled all my clients' policies. If she had underwritten them, we had them. If not, we got them from the clients. We did a review. Here's your benefits. Most people do not remember their long-term care benefits, right? So it's a reminder. Here's your benefits. Oh, by the way, here's the projected cost. And then what I'm doing, if my clients don't have it, because this could be a potential liability for you if you're not talking to them about long-term care, is to go ahead and say, well, if you're not going to buy insurance, then we're going to dedicate an asset or we're going to build it into the financial plan. So I'll actually create a financial plan scenario around that. But this was just a standalone piece that we created, and you can do it yourself. You can hire somebody to review those for you. You can talk to a local long-term care insurance underwriter to actually review those policies and help you do a summary. And then from that, deliver it to them. You can send it to them. But then in the next meeting, start a conversation about it. That's the planning topic you're going to talk about in that meeting. And I tell you, it was extremely successful. It was also a great record for me because now I had this very specific summary instead of these policies in my folder. Al?
Okay, so the question was, how do we document what we did for the client when we're sending out that asynchronous communication via the Loom video? So two things that we're doing in our CRM, A, that video is tracked, or that email is tracked and linked to the contact record in the client record. We also have reoccurring activities in Redtail that correspond to these value adds. So how we define the difference between a workflow and an activity in Redtail, a workflow is a process, an activity is a project. So the activity, the project of reviewing their practice financials is a reoccurring annual activity that will kick off for every one of our practice owners at the second week of January. And so that is the trigger that allows us to then kick off the automation inactive campaign, et cetera, et cetera. And then when we complete that workflow, we will paste the link to that Loom video in that completed activity, which then when you complete that activity in Redtail now turns into a note, which is automatically archived. And then we use a category for that note in Redtail, which is different than our review notes, because one of the biggest issues that advisors face in the ever-growing list of completed notes in Redtail is, how do I sift through the noise to find out what's actually valuable to me? One of the best things that we use, and we'll talk about it in Surge as well, is we assign the category review notes to any note that is around a review, so that when I want to see what have we talked about in our last conversation, I can just pull notes with category equal to review notes, and then I've got all the details.
And I would just say, this is the ideal where you want to get to. If you're not there, don't let it stop you. You can start this with an Excel spreadsheet, keep notes in your CRM, and do it that way. Yep. Go ahead and deliver something and then work to automate it. Don't wait to automate it just to put off another task or another reason not to do it.
To the long-term care part, this is for me and my firm specifically, this is an area where a long-term care specialist has forgotten more than I know about the intricacies of how long-term care policies work. So this is something that I would absolutely punt to a long-term care specialist, like Steph talked about. The other point that we do, just as a CYA, we actually have a hold harmless document that we will send and ask clients to sign if we have that conversation about why it's important to their financial plan and they still don't execute on that. We will have them sign a document that says, we've talked about this, we feel it's in your best interest, we've talked about this type of coverage, you're declining to move forward because I don't want to get sued by their kids who said, you never talked to my parents about long-term care. Yeah, we did. I maybe take that to an extreme, but.
No, there's definitely been cases. So I think you're right to cover yourself. I haven't gone as far as having them sign it, but I make sure that I have proof that I have delivered this to them. So, you know, maybe after we mail something, I might email it to them as well. And we'll have notes in the meeting that we reviewed this. And I will make them put it in a financial planning scenario and show them what it looks like if they don't. I tell people, insurance is not the only answer, but it is a answer. If you're not going to use insurance, what are we going to use?
You mean everything's not a nail? Sorry, couldn't resist. This is an example of one of our value adds. So we took basically, if anybody has, you know, the calendar that we've created here at Limitless is in part based off of John Acuff and what he did, newyear.com, I think it is, N-E-U-Y-E-A-R, it's either .com or .net, I can't remember exactly. We benchmarked that and created our own calendar that we send out to our practice owners. We have what we call a KPI corner, a key performance indicator corner that starts with their personal days off. I'm a big fan of Dan Sullivan and the work that he's done around the free focus and buffer days and time management. We talk about that with our practice owner clients. So this is just one example of what we've created that is very, very customized and targeted to our ideal avatar, who it is that we do our best work with, why they chose to align with our firm, and how we can help them stay focused around aligning and planning their life on purpose. It's on our website. It's on everything that we communicate. We help optometry practice owners plan life on purpose. And this is what we've created. This is what we send out to them in December. We have them fill it out. We have them send back, this is what in part drives part of that agenda in our conversations in February, or my review in February.
All right. So at Mission Wealth, I get to do a little bit more because they have more resources. And so I want to remind you that not everything has to be a technical planning topic, right? And, you know, we talked about with Carl, like we're trying to have deeper conversations with clients. So you can also look at value adds as more on the life planning or what do you want to do side. Mission Wealth has this great series that they do at least quarterly called Inspired Talks, where they have a speaker that comes in, they talk about a topic. They do it an hour. We do it via Zoom. It's usually we had Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo talk about psychology and ways to stay upbeat, especially during the pandemic. We had somebody come in and talk about the blue zones, these places where people age and have good health spans. So that's a bigger resource type item, right? But if you're in your local community, to Adam's point earlier, think about your audience. What would be important to them? Is there a local speaker that you could just come have sit on a Zoom and talk about health consequences for kids? You know, if a lot of your clients have kids during the pandemic or something that would be of interest to them. Another advisor that I know did a great job. She did a book club, which I thought was phenomenal, right? So, and she did like a book, she picked a book that she thought her target audience might like, and they didn't read the whole book. She said, we're gonna read the first five chapters and we're gonna talk about it. And she got about 10 people. So not everybody, you know, a smaller group to come in and talk about that book. So here you are building relationships. You're having an interaction with those clients in doing that. And then she just carried on the book. So there's a lot of different creative ways you can add value without spending a lot of money and without having to create a long task list of to-dos, you know, to do it and really delivering something to your clients. Did somebody have a question?
No? Okay. And again, this is a graphic of the integrated income planning cycle that we're working on trademarking and that is being delivered to all of our clients. We had someone that graphically designed this process for us that we deliver as part of our one-page plan process. So at the end of our delivery in the one-page plan, we tell the prospective client that you're going to get three documents from us at the end of this conversation. Number one is going to be a copy of your one-page plan. Number two is going to be a copy of our integrated income planning model. This is how we're going to deliver the value that we've talked about through this planning process up until this point as we get through the onboarding process and segue into the ongoing planning relationship that we're going to have. And then we have another document that really outlines how we're delivering that onboarding process with the go meeting, the planning meetings, as part of that onboarding, which then segues into the integrated planning model. I know in your workbooks you're going to have, and this is what we're going to do from a working on this, the working session part of this conversation or part of this session is going to be thinking about how you can take the months in the year and deliver value, not necessarily in every single one of those months, but just in a way that fits your clients where they are and what's top of mind for them at any given point during the year. Which again, I think I'm pulling up.
And I'll just add, one of the things you do want to be careful of is that I've seen too, as you're building your practice, remember, and it's going to sound bad, not to over-service some clients as well too. Like sometimes in the beginning, we do have more time, but remember you're building the practice of the future. It's not, you want to shortchange clients. You want to make sure you give them the advice that they need, but don't also over-service something that's going to be hard to deliver when you have, you know, 50 more of those clients as well too.
And this is where, again, pounding this, just pounding the table and taking this to my grave from a niche standpoint, the narrower your ideal avatar is, the greater clarity that you have around what it is that is top of mind for them, the easier it can become to scale the deliverable, the easier it becomes to scale special for that relationship. If I had a practice that was full of clients across all kinds of different professions at all different chapters in their life, the ability to create a scalable service model would be largely impossible. Not, I shouldn't say impossible, but it'd be a lot more difficult than it would be with a very, very defined qualitative and quantitative profile of that ideal client, because I know what's important to them. Because if I've had one conversation with a practice owner, I've had 100, I've had 1,000, right? That gives me that clarity to know this is what's top of mind for them. If this is what's top of mind for our clients, I know that there's a lot more other people out there that have these same common questions and core concerns. There's some alliteration for you. And we can document that in scale special, utilizing technology. Like Steph said, if you're not, if you're not there yet, that's okay. Just start, just begin with something. And that's what we're going to work through today. Our goal for you, for everybody here, is that at the end of this session, you have a very good first rough draft of what you're going to do for your client, when you're going to do that, and maybe have some clarity about how you're going to deliver that.
Don't get tripped up on the how, though.
Yeah.
Has anybody here done this already? Somebody have an idea that they want to share? Let me get the mic to you real quick.
Well, I don't know about an idea I want to share that we are doing. Avers, I think what we're doing currently is, I would just refer to it as a watered down version of this. So we have a client experience calendar. We share it with prospects and clients. It has financial review in spring and fall. We surge. In between those meetings, we have some automated ways of providing value, of doing automated reviews. For example, I'll give one example. We alternate years. Last year we did property and casualty insurance. This year we're doing life insurance. But basically, after the spring surge, we send an email. We collect everyone's policies, send those policies off to a life insurance specialist who has agreed to, or last year again, PNC, this year life. Actually do the deep dive review and put it on a slide, a branded slide for my firm that then automatically goes into the fall surge meeting deliverables. And so it's a version of this, but I'm definitely keen on creating more of a monthly calendar or even more value adds.
Birch, go ahead.
Fantastic.
So my question is, so I've attempted these different value adds over time, tax return, life insurance. My big concern or fear is that I spend a lot of energy trying to obtain the documents, and sometimes chasing after documents takes half a year that never kind of gets done. So I guess, how do you manage that in terms of trying to get a bit better response?
That's a good question.
So I think it goes back to attracting the client and setting the expectation when you bring that client on. Here are the things that we're going to do. I'm going to ask you for your tax return. I'm going to do this. It's hard to go back and do it right when you haven't, but I think you have to have somebody, maybe see if you can get a virtual assistant who can help follow up on those items so that you're not spending your time doing that. But I think setting the expectation up front, here is what we do. Here's how I'm going to be able to serve you. I really can't serve you if you don't do that. Because if you don't deliver on that, then they're going to start wondering why they're paying their fee and they're not going to be a good client, right? So you got to set the expectation.
Christy, go ahead. Oh, yep. Let's. And while I'm walking back here as well, this is the question. The hard question is, to Steph's point, is that the best client for the practice? Is that someone that should be graduated? Or the phrase of, you can't be more vested in their financial success than they are in their own. There are some clients that we will make that offer and then just close the books on that and say, all right, we tried. And eventually maybe have that decision of step up or step out. Go ahead, Christy.
Yeah, so this is something that I've wrestled with for a long time. And like this chart for me is like deliverable one line, like annual comprehensive review. Because I find, and I'd love your opinion on this, because I struggle with like, well, what if they say, what have you done for me lately? And I haven't heard from you in a year. And like, but the annual plan that we do for them, it covers everything. Mm-hmm. And I found that for me, it's like poking the bear, right? Like I reach out to the client and they're like, oh, well, while I have you,
yeah,
can I also ask you about this and this and this? And then it ends up with like 8 different follow-up emails going back and forth on something. And I'm like, we should have just had a meeting.
Well, and so one of the things that we've done to do, one of the reasons that our clients are hiring us is because they, just like us, they're business owners, time is their most valuable commodity. And their idea is that if I'm not in an exam room refracting a patient, I'm not making money. Like the joke in optometry is that you shouldn't see light. You should be nocturnal, because if you can't do an exam room in a light, like, so what we do, two things that we've done to head that off in our practice. Number one, client engagement standards, setting expectations on what we expect from them as part of this relationship, but then making it really, really easy to know who, not how. So we have a SLOA that is part of our onboarding process, the DocuSign envelope that Kathy sends out with the financial planning engagement. The last page of that financial planning engagement is a SLOA, standing letter of authorization, that gives us, they sign it, gives us permission to reach out to their trusted advisors to ask for this information. So what we do is when that time comes, we fire the shot across the bow and say, Burge, it's time to review your insurance documents. Just to let you know, we've reached out to Jim or whoever it is to ask for a copy of your deck pages. And we'll let you know and advise if there's any actionable items that are a result of our analysis and review. And so part of getting that SLOA as part of our onboarding process, and then in eMoney, any eMoney users in here? Right, there's one section of eMoney, trusted, I think it's professionals or trusted contacts, something like that in the data collection process. We ask them, who is your CPA? Who is your attorney? Who are all of the relationships? A coach that I used to work with called, his name was Lucas Serra, his name is Lucas Serra. He has something called CORE as part of his client process. What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? Who are the relationships that are important in your life that you need when you're making important financial decisions? And then the E, the experience, is what are you solving for? So the R, we get those relationships up front so that we can take that off their plate. And that's one of our value adds. Our goal is that we want to save you time and only have you worry about the things that you actually need to take action on. We are, in essence, trying to serve as your personal and professional CFO to an extent. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, I'm raising their fees and they're all saying, yay, like, thank you. Like,
we're but you're not increasing the time that you're meeting.
Right.
Correct. I mean, we're only proactively meeting and we're doing it 100% more than you are, right?
In Carl's podcast with like how messed up is it that the client value add is to be the top client quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like so
counterintuitive. But I think that the thing that we need to be careful of is that we're not So the question was, like, if I summarize what you're saying there, Christy, we should not correlate value being delivered to the number of meetings that we're having, which I would agree 100%. My response to that is, you don't have to meet with the client to deliver value.
You don't have to meet with them, but I do think there is something in having touches. So one of the things we measure at Mission Wealth is, was it a valuable conversation, right? And maybe the problem you have with your meetings, not problem, if it works for you, you do it. So that's, you got a successful practice. If that works for you, do it. But probably if you're reaching out throughout the year, you wouldn't have as many to-dos as well too, right? That's kind of the way it goes. Those meetings get shorter because you're reaching out a little bit more. But I am a big fan of tracking, was that a high quality conversation? And have for our bigger clients, have we had that in this month? If I have a private client who's got over 5 million with me, have I talked with them in a month or two? If not, I need to get on the phone and at least check in. Hey, how are you doing? And I'll be honest, my biggest clients ask me less questions, right? So it's really just checking in. Hey, how'd that go? How was that hunting trip? Do you need anything? Oh, by the way, you know, you didn't have any exposure to Russian bonds. Just wanted to let you know. Bye.
But Christy, if I'm understanding also what you're saying is that you're not necessarily even, you're, in addition to being sensitive to the amount of time that you're asking of them, you're also solving for your own time and efficiency, correct?
I'm off.
Yeah.
So like working, you know, poking the bear, as I say.
Yeah. That's the key. Yeah.
But we always create a touch point from our meeting to check in within like 3 to 4 months, you know, on whatever.
Which is what, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, but it's not a financial planning topic.
doesn't have to be a financial planning topic. It needs to be a high quality conversation. So that's what I would track in your mind, high quality conversation.
Any other questions that that you're observing as you're looking at implementing this into your practice?
Is there another mic?
Is it? Okay, yeah, go ahead. So the question is, when we build out our client service calendar, do we share that with them? No. The closest that we get to sharing anything around our service model is the integrated income planning cycle, where we talk about our two cornerstone meetings in the spring and the fall, and then also providing ongoing financial planning through proactive tax planning, cash flow, knowing your numbers and KPIs. That's the extent of how we communicate our service model. Go ahead.
So I used your slogan.
Yep.
And I had a little bit of pushback from some of my CPAs. So I went through and I looked at what some of their issues were, and I created another document, and I can share that, put it up there in resources. But it said it's annually, so that CPA doesn't feel like they're on the hook forever from giving you these documents.
You're saying your iteration, you changed to annually? Or I don't remember what ours says.
I had to change it to annually because I had some CPAs that were saying, I can't have this go on to perpetuity. I need that the client to sign each year. So it was a great tool. It got me a lot more conversation with some of the CPAs and insurance and all of that and attorneys. But I'm in California. We're a little odd sometimes. Everyone's worried about, you know, litigation.
I will say, to Pamela's point, the pushback, if we do get any from the client's existing relationships, it is CPAs. Some of them won't even sign ours. They have their own that they will send to us. But to your point, at least it gets the conversation going and you can solve for that. It might not be perfect, but in my opinion, it's better than the alternative.
You can also, in many cases, just have an email from the client, right? Too, right? So-and-so gave me permission. Nancy, can you reply all to this and let Irving know that I have permission to talk with you too? So.
Yep. Okay, a couple questions here. Let's kind of work our way to the back or from.
Adam, how did you come up with this? Why two meetings? Why those deliverables? Did you survey the client?
Built the airplane as I flew it, my friend.
Was it based on some kind of survey? Was it just kind of as you went, just getting information? Why those particular deliverables?
I'm really glad you asked that question because it spawned a conversation that I had just last week with one of my biggest optometry clients. I asked him, how have you felt about the ongoing service? And he's like, honestly, Adam, I'll do what you tell me to do. Like, if you want, I trust you that you're going to ask to meet when you feel like we need to meet. And I'm not going to ask any more or any less. I trust you. That's why we're aligned with you, because you know our business and you know me. So whatever you want to do, I'll do. I'll do as little or as much as my point in sharing that story is that I wrap myself up in that conversation. It's like, am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? Should I do this? And it was a matter of our clients. And I think that feedback that I got from my one client, I think we all have relationships that feel that same way. They're with you for a reason. They trust you for a reason. And they will do, when you say jump, they will say how high. And that also ties into the service model. Now, with that being said, yes, part of this has been building the airplane as I fly. We initially wanted to have practice financial review 4 times per year. That was a freaking nightmare, because it's quarterly reviews, right? And while we're not doing comprehensive reviews, we're just reviewing the practice financials. Now, even though, and this is one thing that we do with our practice owners as well, part of our onboarding process, if they're using QuickBooks, is we're allowed to get accountant-only view on their books. So we don't have to ask our practice owners to get access to their financials. I can just log into our QuickBooks, scroll down to the client in question, click in there, have read-only access, and now I can pull their financials. Even doing that 4 times per year is exhausting.
But my problem is just that I've been doing quarterly reviews for years, and now my clients are used to it.
All no, they're used to it because you're asking them for it.
Right, all my new clients were doing twice a year, but all my older clients, legacy clients, were doing 4 times a year. So how do I back out of it?
Ask them if they are, and they will not care.
Exactly.
I used to give clients a stack of paperwork. I stopped giving it to them. Nobody asked.
Microphone.
You had a question, right?
Oh, yeah, so basically, to summarize for our virtual people, what Steph was saying is, our we think that clients, just because we've been having those quarterly reviews, that if we take that away, they're gonna be, oh, I didn't get my quarterly review. The vast majority of your clients are only doing that because you're asking them. And if you do have exceptions that ask, why are we only meeting 2 times for you? Now I'm used to meeting 4 times. That is a very easy conversation to solve for, which will be the exception in your book, not the norm.
On that, one of my questions is, how do you solicit feedback from your clients? Do you have a formal process? How do you get that information on what your clients want? That's one question. My other was, do you have different service levels for, and so you communicate that out.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to survey. We use a dimensional survey at Mission Wealth, so we've done that before. I think also you can do I think it's Dan Allison approach, where you talk with your clients. He's got a very formal model about surveying them, and really it's designed to remind your clients what you do well for them, but also uncovers opportunities from that standpoint. But it's a great way to pick up referrals as well too. So I would encourage you to look at that process as well. And yes, most definitely you want a different service model for clients, because you can't deliver, first of all, there's probably not enough planning at all levels from that standpoint. And just going back to delivering going from 4 meetings to 2, that might be the perfect opportunity to sneak in a value add in that off quarter when you're not meeting with them, like get them used to it. Hey, I'm still working even though we're not meeting.
Yeah, we do. So on that point, this is gonna be the last answer before I do maybe one more quick question. I don't wanna take away from workbook time. So one more question, we'll do this. My quick feedback to that is, we have 2 different service models. One for our non-optometry practice owners and one for our practice owners. The joke in our firm, we work with a lot of succession. What do you call an optometrist the day after they sell their practice? All of your ideal prospects, right? They're just another retiree. So we do have a service model that is for non-practice owners and then for practice owners, just 2. I think, does that make sense? Okay, and then feedback, Dan Allison, Feedback Marketing Group. If you really wanna dive into the nuts and bolts of what he does, great program. Client advisory boards is another way to take a cross section of the best avatars in your book, organize a dinner, organize an event, virtual, in person, whatever that might be, depending on your practice, come up with these lists of questions, et cetera, get their feedback, or anecdotally, just in one-off conversations like I have with our prospects or with our clients, excuse me, all 3 of those work. Question, and then last question, then we'll break into work time.
This should be quick. For your CPA mid-meeting, if they're just a tax preparer for that, are they billing you or are they billing the client for their time for that?
We set the expectation with the CPA that we value your time and we'll pay you for your time. We have yet to have anybody bill us for that. They appreciate it because it saves them time long-term. For the vast majority of our client is not involved in that conversation. It's just us and the CPA talking behind the scenes. And then we will circle back around with the client and let them know what we talked about. If there's any actionable items for any of the parties, we will follow up with them and do that accordingly. I haven't had any CPAs actually bill for that time.
But. Yeah, I think it's funny because I did have a CPA bill my client, and the client was like, Ann charged me $400 to answer that question. I was like, you're paying me $40,000 a year. It's okay to pay. I mean, I didn't tell her that. $400, but you do have to negotiate that, right? Yeah. I do think his approach of saying, hey, look, I will pay you for this, I don't want the client billed, is a good approach.
We have found that by proactively addressing that, this is my own thought. I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes myself, I feel better saying or thinking it. If we head that off and proactively say to the CPA, we understand your time is valuable, and as part of this planning process, we will pay you for your time. I almost feel like that's more of a forcing mechanism to not charge. I don't know. I have no empirical evidence to say whether that's true or not, but we've never gotten a bill. So now we've never had a client say that. So maybe they have billed and the clients just haven't told us.